flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I love this so much. I love this song so much. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I'm trying to figure out in the moment. I was trying to see if I could figure out if there was a tie between this song and our next guest. He is a former defensive lineman for your Houston Texans, and obviously played elsewhere around the league in the NFL. He's been a guest
he's a new kids on the block guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Did not know that. He is Ndi Kalu, my favorite Nigerian, as I like to call him. And he joins us now on Sports Radio 610. What's happening, my man?
What's going on, brothers? How are y'all doing?
Still new kids on the block?
New kids on the block? I haven't heard their new stuff, obviously, but the reason I liked them growing up, the first, you know, and let me let the people know, yes, I'm in my late 40s, so you can hear artists and not know what they look like. So for a while, I thought they were I thought they were brothers, and then when I found out they were white, I thought, man, this is pretty cool. You know, these people have adopted the R&B and sound, but yeah. Now I've been taught that that's that's not a good thing anymore.
Oh, that's good. Own it.
I have learned that today that Ndi Kalu probably a big fan of Blue Eyed Soul. Okay, very good. One more thing, because I know you enjoy when we bring the shenanigans right to your doorstep. Earlier, we were talking about in honor of Joe Mixon. What have you been accused of that you just didn't do? Do you have a scenario where you just recall an instance where you've been accused of something that you just that was not me. I didn't do that.
Ooh, you know I'm black, right?
That is fair. Touche. Yeah, me and Figgy had to be careful because we were like, all right, so how many fit the profile stories can we get off?
Can you give us an alphabetized list?
Yeah. I'm like, how long is this segment? Well, you know what? The one that bothered me the most, and it's actually not funny, but it didn't hit me till after the fact, and to this day still bothered me. So we were coming back in high school, we went to the state game. We played Odessa Permian, and we lost. So on the flight back to San Antonio, I'm upset because back then when you lose a game, you cry. You're not taking pictures with the opponent. You know, you're still upset about it. So I'm sitting on the plane, and my seatmate is Priest Holmes, the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're the only two brothers on the team, the only two brothers on the entire team. And I was sleeping, and the stewardess, she woke me up, and she said, do you want this drink in your face? So I'm confused, and I didn't know what she was saying then. And keep in mind, I'm 15, 16 at the time, a little bit naive.
Yeah.
Then she kept saying, do you want this drink in your face? And I had this stupid grin on my face, and I'm like, no? Question mark. And then the boys behind me are all laughing. So come to find out, when we land, they were like, dude, we were touching her ass and she thought it was you.
Oh,
and I was like, y'all stupid ass.
Man.
But I was more upset that I didn't get a chance to respond to her because even like
she
a
still
year
think
later,
it's you.
She still thinks
yeah,
it's
yeah,
you.
Yeah, even a year later, I was like, man, I wish I could have told that flat booty heifer that there's
wow.
no way. I would be trying to touch her without her consent. But that one, for some reason, really bothered me. And the guys who were doing it, you know, they're teenage boys, but I don't think they understood the ramification. But yeah, so that one to this day bothers me more so that I didn't get a chance to cuss her out.
Yeah, they were playing with your good name.
Yeah.
You know what? Exactly. And I was asleep. I was asleep and I was mad. Oh, and the funny thing, Priest Holmes, the reason I brought his name up wasn't to name drop. He woke up too, and he was, and usually because he was a year ahead of me, I always looked up to him. I looked at him like, what does this mean? Like, is she trying to let me know something? Like, is this something I just don't understand? And he kind of looked at me, shrugged, and just went back to
the Priest had nothing for you. He said, that's my name, Ben, and I ain't in.
Exactly. He was like, man, maybe it's a white thing and she's trying to get with you.
But that's crazy.
He kept saying, do you want this drink in your face? And I was like, what is she talking about? Then when we got on the bus, because the bus takes us from the plane back to the school, they were laughing and told me what happened. And
gosh. That's awful.
Man, that's awful.
That is awful. Speaking of awful, hey, I pulled a Reggie.
Hey! Transition King.
No, that's Reggie, but I tried to channel it. Speaking of awful, I don't want to get into specifics until I ask you just in a general sense. The treatment that Patrick Mahomes got against the Houston Texans, just your takeaways from that.
You know what? I've never been a blame it on the refs guy. I'm still not. But that's where you start losing fans in the NFL. Like the last team in the world that needs extra help from the refs is the Kansas City Chiefs. And two of those calls, I was like, come on, man. What are we doing? Like, even if I don't have a dog in the fight, which – I kind of didn't, because a part of me wants to see Andy Reid. He was my head coach for 6 years, so I'm always rooting for him. And obviously, I play for the Texans, cover the Texans. They've been great to me since I've retired. But those were the type of calls where I was like, you know what? This is where you give fuel to the people that believe the game is rigged. This is where you give fuel to the people who believe that they're NFL script writers and, you know, they only want to see certain teams make it to the Super Bowl. That's what bothered me more than, oh, this is happening against my team. But the fact that you're watering down the game, you're giving the conspiracy theorists ammo for some of those crazy takes, because two of those calls – I was just flabbergasted. I didn't even know how to respond to it. Mm-hmm.
How common is it in a locker room for players to have kind of that feeling of, you know, a certain unfairness in the game? Because I just am curious. Like, obviously, you could see it. It was emanating out from this Texans team after that game. But I'm wondering, like, how uncommon is that? Or is that something where, you know, players in the league, you'll go out and you play, you understand what it is, but, you know, there's a lot of players that kind of have that feeling of a certain ref ain't really feeling them.
I think now with social media and everybody knows what everyone's thinking, more players do feel that way. And you have all these examples, and all you have to do is turn on your TikTok or Instagram or, you know, whatever social media platform, and you see examples of it. When I played, it was more, you know what, it happens. You curse out the ref on the field and then you move on. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't this thought that there's this, concerted effort by the NFL to have certain teams win. But again, the good and bad with social media, because I've seen, and I'm not even a huge social media guy, but I've seen reels, I think that's the right word,
yes,
where they edited and showed like all the different calls that went for Kansas City. So if you don't understand editing, understand football, you're like, God, dog, there really are, playing for the Kansas City. So I think now, just because of information being readily available, it appears to be more so than it was in the early 2000s.
You know,
so it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Andy, Reggie and I spoke about this yesterday, now that we've had time to digest sort of the whole season. And we kind of were kicking around the idea of this offensive line, you know, so at least two or three of these guys don't really fit what the Bobby Slowick system is. And yet Bobby Slowick tried to sort of force feed the system into these offensive, you know, what these offensive linemen are capable of doing. So which do you change? You know, which is easier to change as the coordinator, but which would you change, you know, moving forward? Because some of these guys just don't fit getting to the second level, angling on guys, et cetera.
Ooh, that's a great question. And I don't want to give you the political answer, but my thought is if you believe, if you're the decision maker, if you're Nick Caserio, if you're Coach D'Amico Ryans, the McNairs, you know, those are the three people that matter. If you believe in the offensive coordinator, then I think you have to get the players to fit his system. But if you're saying, you know what, I don't like some of these calls, you know, he's not trending in the right direction, then, in my opinion, that's when you make a move at the OC. And it's a tough decision to make. Like, that's why head coaches and general managers get paid the big bucks. That's a hard decision to make, to tell a man that he's not good at his job and he needs to move on. And that's basically what's happening. And then you bring in that offensive coordinator who you feel like, one, can continue to groom CJ Stroud, and two, work with the talent that you have. Because say what you want, this is a talented football team. So there's no excuses. I think with what they've done over the last 2 years, the expectation next year is to get to the conference championship game. So if you don't feel like that OC can get the guys that you have on this roster, the nucleus there, then that's where you make the change.
We're talking to ND Kalu right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. And I mean, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. And this is one of the things that becomes very front and center as you start trying to turn over this season to the next one. Stephon Diggs was a guy that you brought in, and he fit into the culture of what was happening here immediately. But he is 31 years old. He'll be, next year will be his 32 season, coming off of an ACL. Is that a guy that you absolutely want back, or do you have some trepidations about returning off of that injury?
Again, you have to be cutthroat when you're in a position of power. Stephon Diggs did everything, you know, the Houston fan base wanted him to do, with the way he was mentoring the youngsters, the things that he was saying, the type of team player that he was. It wasn't the nightmare that you would believe if you only read the clippings coming from the Buffalo Bills media. So, yeah, you have to appreciate what he did. But the tough decision, you have an aging guy coming off a serious injury. In my opinion, you have to move as if you're not bringing them back. So I don't know how cap-friendly it will be to bring them back, but my thought is, okay, when you go into this draft, you have to go into this draft assuming Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell aren't coming back. So does that make wide receiver a priority? Absolutely. And if Stephon Diggs comes back and he picks up right where he left off, then that's, you know, icing on the cake, more power to you. But I've always been of the belief, when you have a star player, a starter who's over 30 and is suffering a season-ending injury, you just go into that next season assuming that he's not going to be the guy that he was before.
I'm not going to lie, Andy. I was a little surprised to hear you come with that hard-nosed take as a former player. I thought you might take a little easy.
No, that's good.
I appreciate that.
That's
you
why
have,
you're here. That's why we're going to miss
exactly.
You.
Exactly. It's one of the reasons why I appreciate talking with you.
I went through it. I tore my ACL in like year 7. And during my rehab, and, you know, Philadelphia media, they're always in your face. How do you feel? I'm like, man, I feel better than I did before. But in my mind, I don't know if I'm going to make it next year.
Yeah.
I know, that was in 2004. So we're talking about 21 years. God, dog, I'm getting old. You know, we're talking about over 20 years ago. So obviously guys are bouncing back.
Right.
But I just, if I'm a general manager, I'm moving as if they're not coming back.
And you did say this was like 20 years ago, right? So I understanding that, you know, especially sports medicine, it just continues to rapidly progress in a way that's mind-boggling. But how long did it take for you to feel somewhat like this self of yourself from before the injury?
I never did. I just had to adjust my game because before it was more athleticism, explosive movements, quick twitch. After I tore my ACL and came back, and I played another four or five years after it, thank God. But I just had to change my game. I became more of a run stopper, physical. I gained about 15, 20 pounds just to kind of change the game up because I never quite felt the same. Now, there are other guys, Adrian Peterson, he tore his ACL and he rushed for 2,000 yards.
That's right.
The following years. Every story is different.
That's right.
But I just never assumed somebody's going to come back the way they were before the injury.
Sure. You were still faster than all those flat booty heifers.
Yeah.
I'm going to cherish that story for the rest of my life. And at the risk of doing something, because, in theory, you should not be doing something on air that you don't know exactly where it's going to go. However, I try and do things for the people. Somebody asked on the Twitch, ask Andy how Uncle Greg is. Haven't heard him in a little while.
We text back and forth and, we always talk about the good times. And to this day, and Reggie, you weren't here, but we had a radio show on a different station.
Yeah.
And, I think we cater to the low hanging fruit. So we cater to the mouth breathers because that's what we were. So, a lot of people just felt connected to us. So even to this day, whether it's at church or even at a Texan game, somebody would be like, man, Uncle Greg, where is he at? He texts me. He's doing fine. It sucks that I haven't, been in the same place as him for a while now. But from what I'm hearing and from the text back and forth, he seems to be doing fine.
Excellent. And look, I would not call you a mouth breather. I would not say that. I always appreciate the times that we get to talk to you. I imagine that we're going to let you go and do your mogul thing, but we'll tap in with you a little bit throughout the offseason, my man.
No, I appreciate it, man. Y'all do an awesome job to the point where, and I'm not just saying this, like I used to listen to like all the sports stations, but man, I just leave it right there on 610.
They're
on. I turn y'all on in the office. Appreciate what y'all are doing, and y'all keep up the great work.
There he is, my favorite Nigerian, for obvious reason, ND Kalu. Appreciate you, my man. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, or rest of your day. There he goes. That's ND Kalu right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including what happened at the Bear Bryant Awards yesterday and some interesting stuff that happened, including the UH Cougars absolutely dismantling Utah. We'll do it next.